Well, it would be great if you could keep that passage open from Matthew's Gospel, and let's pray together. Lord God, we ask that as we open your word, you would open our minds and hearts by your Spirit, that we might live to your glory. Amen. Well, it's said that during the French Revolution, a man remarked to Talleyrand, who was a powerful political figure, who also happened to be a bishop, "The Christian religion, what is it? It would be easy to start a religion like that." "Oh yes," the bishop replied. "One would only have to get crucified and rise on the third day. Easy." What is Christianity all about? What do you think the responses would be if we wandered down Park Lane tomorrow morning and asked people, what is Christianity all about? Would they say it's about being good, about belief in heaven, something for religious people? Might they say, well, I don't believe myself, but it's great that other people do. Maybe they would say it's all about rules, or it's anti-women or anti-gay, something old-fashioned, maybe something quaint. What would your colleagues say? What would your neighbours say? What would you say? What is Christianity all about? Over the next term, on Sunday mornings, we're going to be making our way through Matthew's Gospel, week by week, hearing the words of Jesus, observing his actions, his miracles. And the word gospel simply means good news. And Jesus is clear that this good news that he is bringing is a new way of relating to God, a new way of living, and a new way of looking to the future. We'll learn the ways of the kingdom of heaven, what others refer to as the kingdom of God. Not a physical kingdom, but you can see it. Not a political kingdom, but it has a ruler, it has a king. And not an armed kingdom, but it is in a battle. As we allow these words to speak to us, they will challenge us, and we'll be encouraged to reset, to recalibrate our understanding of Jesus, so that the one we follow is the one who walks off the pages of Matthew's Gospel. And the focus won't just be on spiritual things, on the thoughts going on inside our heads. Jesus is going to speak about money and taxes and generosity. He'll condemn empty religiosity and show. He'll uphold the goodness of faithfulness in marriage between one man and one woman. He'll declare in word and deed his unique identity and mission. And we'll see him again and again call women and men to follow him as his disciples. The kingdom's king issues a call to repent, to follow, and to believe. So do come with me to Matthew chapter 4. The gospel so far has opened with the telling of Jesus' birth, and we thought that would be a little bit strange in the beginning of September, so we're starting in chapter 4. But the gospel's open. Jesus has been born. We've seen the ministry of John the Baptist, including Jesus' baptism, and the temptation in the wilderness. And so we come to Jesus' ministry. Verse 14, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah, "Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." We know, don't we, that there are moments in our own lives and also moments in the history of the world that change something. From the happiness of falling in love, becoming a parent, seeing a brilliant musician perform, to the sadness of the last moments of a loved one's life, to remembering where we were when planes crashed into the Twin Towers, or witnessing the cruelty of others. For the world, this passage in Matthew's Gospel is a decisive moment across the whole globe and across time. There is now light where there was darkness. How dazzling, how awesome that moment when someone turns on the light if you've been in a dark place. I've recently got a new bulb in the light in my study, and the difference is amazing. It is like going from gloom to what suddenly feels like sunlight, even on the darkest of days. This is what was hoped for, predicted, prophesied in the Old Testament, a time when God would break in to the darkness, into the hopelessness of the world, and bring a new dawn. But this appearing isn't exactly where you might expect it to be. As Doncaster writes, it is in despised Galilee, the place where people live in darkness, that is, without the religious advantages of being in Jerusalem, in Judea. The people who were the furthest away, in the deepest darkness. Well, if the light can shine there, it can shine anywhere. You might think this morning that you're too far away from God. There might be things that you've done that you don't think he'll forgive. You may live with the shadow of shame of things that have happened to you. Will you allow the light of Jesus in? There is fulfillment, there is hope, there is a message to respond to. We see in verse 17, Jesus is quite clear. He says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is a new time, no longer waiting, no longer focused on the mission of John the Baptist. Repent, because the goodness of a new kingdom is on the horizon. Jesus says, turn away from the things that will move you away from God and turn to God. Get in the right direction. My car, Satnav, is very polite. When I've gone wrong, which is often, it chimes in with, make a U-turn where possible. Isn't that polite? It's one thing to recognize that you've gone the wrong way. It's quite another to do something about it. To repent is to recognize the seriousness of sin, those things which we think and say and do, which take us away from God's ways, and to turn back to God. Andy Stanley has a great phrase in his book, The Principle of the Path. Direction, not intention, determines destination. Direction, not intention, determines destination. There is a call to repentance, to turn around, to get back on the right path, to follow God. But there's also the challenge of that many turnings back to God as we go through our lives. And that's why as we meet together as God's people, we take time to say sorry to him and to seek his leading and his guiding for the future. We've seen that the kingdom of God is not the kingdom of this world. It has different priorities, different morals, different standards. So this week, what is it that you need to turn away from? Might our worshipping together, our opening God's word, our meeting around his table encourage you, draw you back to God? Jesus also calls people to follow him. So look down at that next little section from verse 18. He's walking beside the sea, and he sees the fishermen. And what does he say in verse 19? Come, follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people. Again and again, Jesus calls people to follow him, 13 times in Matthew's Gospel. In repenting, we turn away from what is wrong and turn towards God, but we aren't called to stay still. We're called to follow, to go on a journey with Jesus. Jesus breaks into the fishermen's world and calls them to follow, not just as bag carriers or providers of boats to fish from, preach from. These men are going to be involved in bringing others to the kingdom. the message of good news. So in the same way that they have cast their nets and brought in fish, so as the message is proclaimed, people will be brought in to relationship with God. Not nets to trap, but nets to rescue. Perhaps you think that Christian faith should be a private thing, something just between you and God. You're happy to come along to church this morning, to sing, to pray, but actually tell someone else about it? Wow, that seems a bit scary, doesn't it? But it's what Christian faith is about. Joe Capolo writes this: "The Christian faith has always been and will always be a missionary faith. It exists to send followers out into the world, to draw people to the good news that God's appointed Savior of the world is Jesus, and that he died so that we might have life eternally. The Christian faith always has been, always will be, a missionary faith. We're called to go." I suppose the question is, what is the kingdom of heaven like? Well, at least one of the answers is that it is a growing kingdom. It doesn't stay still. It is gaining new members day by day. I wonder if you remember who it was who introduced you to Christian faith. Or perhaps this morning, as you're here in church or as you're listening online, you're unsure where you stand with God. Hear Jesus' call today: follow me. We're called to deeper faith, to following where Jesus leads, and that will challenge us, but it will also bring blessing. Look at the last little section from verse 23 onwards. As Jesus is teaching in the synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and illness among the people. And what happens? News about him spreads. Finding the right person to help is key. If you're looking for someone to fix a plumbing leak, you probably don't want a hairdresser. If you need some clothes altering, can I suggest you don't take them to the butchers? The people of Jesus' day have witnessed his teaching, his healing, and so they go to him to find their hope and their healing. They have seen in him the one who can act, so they are drawn to him. Perhaps there's a moment when all other avenues have been exhausted, and they come to Jesus, and they find that this kingdom is a transformative kingdom for mind, body, and soul. It is no mere philosophy club, a gathering of the intellect. It is no mere health or social care system, a proto-hospital. No mere heightened spiritual experience, a mountaintop exhilaration. Rather, this kingdom connects body, mind, and soul. There is healing, there is forgiveness, there is freedom promised. Not always in the moment, but in the glimpses of God's good new kingdom. Those from unexpected places and people's long given up causes find their hope in Jesus. In Jesus' earthly ministry and today, there is a call to repent, to follow, and to believe. So this week, what is it that you need to repent of and turn towards God in our behavior, attitude, or speech? What is it that you need to take a step of faith in and actually follow where Jesus is leading you? What is it that you need to believe about God, which will bring hope to your week? Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that in these verses from Matthew's Gospel, we hear the call to repent, to follow, and to believe. Help us wherever we are on our journey with you to know your leading, your guiding, your help, and your companionship. Grant us more of your Spirit that we might be those who live as your disciples and bring others to know your saving and healing love. In Jesus' name, amen.